live from the Super Bowls Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona.
It's Pro Football Talk Live
on NBC Sports Radio.
Now, your host, Mike Florio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do an easy update at the Home Depot. You can get a lot more bathroom for your buck with top brand names like Home Decorators Collection, Kohler, and Glacier Bay. The Home Depot also offers buy online, pick up in store. Just place your order online or through the Home Depot iPhone or Android apps. Then come pick up your vanity ready and paid. Visit homedepot.com/bath for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Powerful comments earlier in the program from Broncos receiver Demaryius Thomas. My goodness, to process all of that. And we're going to post the full content at profootballtalk.com with analysis. You can hear the audio content at nbcsportsradio.com. But he said the Broncos didn't have enough fight in them this year, that the team was more talented in 2014 than the team that went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Seahawks in 2013. And it was last year that Jeremy Mincy, formerly the Broncos, said after he signed with the Cowboys that the Broncos were too lackadaisical in Super Bowl 48. Well, you got Demaryius Thomas saying that they lacked fight, that they looked past the Colts in the divisional round, and that the night before that game, there were guys on the team complaining about having to go to New England, not wanting to go to New England. Well, be careful what you wish for. You got it. You didn't have to go to New England after all. So congratulations, I guess. Also, Demaryius, in high demand here, as you can imagine, joined us a couple minutes later than we had expected, so I didn't get a chance to ask him about his partnership with Courtyard. Courtyard, by the way, the official hotel of the NFL. Demaryius is involved in the Courtyard camera campaign. Past episodes have starred Nick Foles, Charles Tillman, Chris Cooley, and Matt Light. You can go to the YouTube page to see Demaryius Thomas along with teammate, former teammate, used to be teammate, Eric Decker. Eric now plays for the Jets. So check that out at the Courtyard camera YouTube page. You'll see Demaryius Thomas there. Maybe you'll see Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker together again in 2015 because Demaryius Thomas, a free agent. Remember John Elway, Broncos GM, first episode of this show. Thank you very much if you were listening that day. Thank you even more if you remember. He said he's not sure he can keep both guys. He's got Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas, the star tight end. Maybe franchise tag for one, other one walks away. Long-term contract for one, other one walks away. But Demaryius also said he's confident in Brock Osweiler if Peyton Manning ends up retiring. He doesn't know what Peyton Manning's going to do. And I got the impression he thinks Peyton's going to be back, though. Would that be incorrect?
Too.
So either way, to me, he wants to stay with the Broncos.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, how many teams can he go to where he's going to be in a better position than the Broncos? Not many.
You don't want to go to a team where Geno Smith is. Just call Eric Decker and
talk
to him.
He's not going to be joining Eric in New York?
Talk to Eric Decker about what happens when you chase the money and you have a quarterback who's not great. And for all we know, Brock Osweiler is a Hall of Famer. We don't know. We haven't seen him play. I mean, if the Broncos had taken Russell Wilson in the second round, he was on the board. If they had taken Russell Wilson, we'd have no idea what Russell Wilson can do. Just like we have no idea what Brock Osweiler could do. He could be the next Dan Marino. We don't know.
Could be the next Geno Smith, too.
He could be the next Geno Smith, too. Or he could be somewhere in between. We just don't know. We won't know until he gets a chance to play. And here's the thing. Stats is the final year of his contract coming up. He could go somewhere else next year. Will they trade him in the preseason or earlier like the Patriots traded Ryan Mallett, a third-round pick in 2011, who was entering the final year of his contract? Patriots decided, let's just get what we can for this guy.
And new head coach in Denver now. You know, he has no loyalty to Brock
Osweiler. May want his own guy.
That's usually the way it goes.
Maybe trade him to Chicago for Jay Cutler, who Jared Allen. How about Jared Allen? Defending Jay Cutler as a leader, not a vocal leader, but a leader, a guy who shows up, puts in his work, does all the things. That's how Jared is. Jared isn't going to tell people what to do. Jared's going to do things the right way and hope that other people are smart enough to notice. But every once in a while, you need somebody. And he mentioned Brandon Marshall as a vocal leader. Nobody's listening to Brandon Marshall. I tried to press him on that.
Yeah,
nobody's
going
to listen to Brandon Marshall. You need a vocal leader that has credibility, a vocal leader that is going to get through to the players who need someone in their face holding them accountable. It's not enough to lead by example. Sometimes you have to lead by word, and if necessary, by force. What else do we have going on today?
How about a little Super Bowl prop bets for
I'll take some Super Bowl prop bets.
This is the first prop bet on the board, and I, of course it is. Will Bill Belichick smile on camera during the game? Vegas says the odds say no. So if you bet on that. If Bill Belichick smiles, you could win some decent change.
But who decides whether he smiles? Do we have to see teeth? Is a smirk enough? A grin?
A tee-hee, perhaps?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
My mother never laughed.
I don't know how far his mouth actually has to curl at each end. For
yeah, I think that's one where you have to start getting, like, facial feature experts involved.
All right.
Which
all
really
right.
wouldn't be a surprise because now we have experts in the inflation of a football. What else do you have?
How many times will, quote, deflated balls be said during the game? The over-under, 3.
Deflated balls, deflated footballs, underinflated balls, any combination there? Are you talking about reference or that phrase?
I think the word deflated is the key.
During the game or the pregame?
During the actual game, Vegas says the over-under is 3. I would take the
but
over.
Now, if I'm Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth, am I not betting the farm on the over and saying, hello, America, deflated, 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 deflated. Thank you. I retire. I have now won the $50 million that I wagered on. Are those real bets that people can actually do that?
Yes. And by the way, speaking of Al Michaels, you can bet whether or not he will mention the point spread during the broadcast. Vegas says he will not.
Well, but mentioning the point spread is different from what Al Michaels usually does. He makes some, like, oh, we know why you're still watching the game.
Well,
yeah, reason to watch when the home team is not down by more than 7.5 points. I don't like these bets, and I am
not
questioning in any way the integrity of the great Al Michaels, best play-by-play announcer in the history of television, radio, or any type of interpersonal communication. But if I decide I'm going big on that bet, I call up Al Michaels and I say, hey, you want to make a little money? You don't have to tell him why.
Okay.
Al, if you just say deflated at least 4 times during the broadcast, you will find a little package in your hotel room before you leave, or a large package.
You do realize most people can't call Al Michaels on the phone, right? Like, it's not like, oh, let me just, Al Michaels, now I've got him.
Maybe there is a service I can provide.
All right, well, how
Hello,
about this?
America. I have Al Michaels' cell phone number.
You know,
I can be the middleman.
Katy Perry's going to do the halftime show.
You're moving me on from this because you don't want to create any federal investigations.
Wait,
go ahead.
You see where I'm going. Katy Perry's doing the halftime show. Will Katy Perry be showing cleavage during the halftime show? If she does, you could win a lot of money.
And again, somebody call up the wardrobe person. I have an idea for you. And you'll make a lot of money if we do that.
Well, considering the whole Janet Jackson thing.
Yeah, you have
so
to be.
So chances are she's not
it's
going to.
It's been 10 years since
I
don't
know.
What else you got?
What color will Bill Belichick's hoodie be? The odds say gray.
I say that's a trick question. I say no hoodie.
No hoodie.
It's indoors.
It's Bill Belichick. I don't even think he has another shirt.
Why does he always go hoodie?
I don't know.
Is this his way to conceal that maybe he needs to hit the gym a little more often?
Well, he's like,
is that wrong?
Jim Harbaugh always wore the same thing because he said he didn't want to waste time picking out his outfit. So it was always black sweatshirt and pleated khaki
pants.
Yeah,
it really is annoying to pick out a shirt and a pants. It's like shaking a bottle of Snapple. This is a real inconvenience.
Do you think he cuts the sleeves off himself or do you think he's got a guy?
I think he rips them off with his bare hands.
With his teeth after a loss. After a tough game against the Jets.
He likes the baggy clothing, though. I think I need a little bag. The baggy clothing is better than the tight suit. I'm about ready to bust out of this thing after eating out at the restaurants every night this week.
Hey, thanks for taking me with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that was an oversight. That was
that
an innocent oversight.
Did I say the quiet part loud?
Was that you that said that? Sorry, I didn't know you were staying in town. I thought you were commuting back and forth like you did last year. Rob Stats-Guerrero, everybody. We're going to be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. When we return, it will be Chris Harris, Broncos cornerback. I wonder if he thinks that... Some of his teammates didn't have any fun. Hopefully Chris hasn't heard about this, or we will have a last-minute cancellation with Chris Harris, the Broncos cornerback. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
Live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona, it's Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your host, Mike Florio.
Welcome back to Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona, the site of Super Bowl 49. Friday, always the busiest day of the week, and always you get the best guest that day. We got a pretty good guest right now. We had his teammate on earlier in the program, Demaryius Thomas. Now we have Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. Appreciate some of your time. How you like it here so far?
I'm having a blast. I wish we could be playing in it, but it's definitely been a fun experience.
Yeah, better to be at practice today than at Radio Row.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just playing in the Super Bowl last year, I didn't get to play in it, but that's something that next year, man, that's definitely the top priority.
You had the torn ACL last year in January.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get – because some guys are never the same. How did you get it together and get yourself ready to go for the start of the season?
Dr. Andrews, when I got my surgery, he told me if you miss one day of treatment, that's like missing 2 weeks. So that's something that I always put in my head was don't miss any treatments. And I made every single one, and I worked extremely hard, and that's really what got me back so fast.
He's Chris Harris Jr., Broncos cornerback, and I like you a lot for a variety of reasons, one of which is we're about the same size. I've had so many guys on this week where I'm doing this. How do you cover these big monster receivers in the NFL now?
I have great technique, and that's really what sets me apart from everybody in the game really right now is that I can play everywhere. And having that versatility that I have really kind of just makes my job a little easier because I can cover them anywhere they go.
But what do you do when the ball's high?
Yeah.
How do you break it up? What do you do? Yeah.
You got to be smart. You got to time your jump smart. A lot of these big guys, they jump early. And when they jump early, they kind of hang in the air. So I kind of wait till they jump, and then I jump, and then I play the ball.
What's your vertical?
I was about 38. So I can jump
that's
with
nothing.
Them, definitely.
Yeah, you need to work on that. You need to improve that. You need to go for 48.
Oh, yeah, man. If I get to 40, that'd be amazing.
When you look back on what's happened, especially over the last year, from the torn ACL to one of the great seasons, best cornerback in the NFL from a performance standpoint, new contract, what's your reaction to all of it?
I just worked extremely hard, man. I'm just glad to have my fruits of my labor come and finally show everybody what I could do. And going into my fifth year and next year, I got to continue to play at an extremely high level and try to raise my game another level.
He's Chris Harris Jr., Broncos cornerback here on PFT Live. How surprised were you when the coaching change was made?
I was definitely surprised. Winning four division championships and making it to the playoffs every year, you usually don't see your coach get fired, but we have higher expectations.
It was a mutual parting.
Who's ever heard of a mutual parting? But
what happened 10 times this year? It's the new thing.
Yeah, it's the new thing, they say. But when you have a winning record like we have with Coach Fox, you never expect your coach to be gone. But that's our expectations here is to win a Super Bowl, and we didn't reach that. And I think if we would have got to the AFC Championship, it might have been different. But going down the first round at home, that's not our expectations at all.
He's Chris Harris Jr., Broncos cornerback, and Demaryius Thomas was standing right there a little while ago, and he said that this year's team was more talented than last year's, but some of the guys didn't have the fight. Did you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely could see that we didn't have that. We didn't go out kicking and screaming, and that's something that that was the big no-no for us to finish the season like that. If you lose, you want to finish it fighting, and we didn't. And so we need guys to come back with more hunger, try to do a better job of leading, making sure guys bring that fight every week.
Are there some guys that you think need to move on to some other team? Has it gotten that bad?
No, I wouldn't say, I mean, Elway's going to make those decisions. Those are decisions that whoever he feels that doesn't need to be here, I'm pretty sure he'll get them out of here. And he does a great job of doing that. And he's always bringing a splash, bringing some talent in every year. So that's something I expect him to have another big offseason for us.
Demaryius Thomas also said that he thinks some of the guys were overlooking the Colts. Did you sense that?
Yeah. I would say, yeah, definitely. Guys definitely did overlook them. Kind of thought that if we just go out there and play that they would lay down for us. And when you can't do that in the NFL, and whenever you do that, you're going to be sent home. With our team, as much talent that we have on our team, there's no way we're supposed to go home in the first round.
One more thing from Demaryius before we move on. He said the guys were actually saying they didn't want to go to New England the next week. Did you hear any guys say that the night before the game? That I don't want to go to Foxborough next week.
No, I never heard that. Now I would have definitely said something if I would have heard that. Yeah. But
he's Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. Tell us about the Chris Harris Jr. Foundation.
Yeah. It's just my foundation in which I always give back to the community from Denver, Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I'm from, and Dallas. So we throw a lot of events, a lot of things given back to them to where they can improve in school. We coach their parents up. We do a lot of things for them, and it's just a great opportunity to be on this platform, to be able to share my experiences, how to be an underdog. That's pretty much the theme of my foundation is underdogs. And I try to tell the kids my story and how I came in as an undrafted player to a Pro Bowler. So that's something that I always try to share.
Yeah, it is a great story. And the more you can tell it, the more it can inspire other kids to do great things. Wrapping up with Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. Have you ever intercepted a pass and thought maybe the football didn't have as much air in it as it should?
No, I haven't. Every football I've picked off has definitely been very full of air. And I haven't had that deflated balls
yet. Have you intercepted Tom Brady yet?
That's one person I have not intercepted yet.
Are you going to do the squeeze test when you do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to I mean, I check out every football that I pick off. I definitely do.
Do you take them all with you?
Yeah, I do. I take them with me. And, I mean, I got all the balls in my house right now. So, but if I got to get a Tom Brady ball. It's been I've been in 4 years now. I got to get them next year.
He's Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. What specifically needs to happen going forward for the Broncos to get back to this game and win it this time?
First thing, we got to see what Peyton's going to do. I mean, right now it's kind of the clock stopped right now, waiting for him to make his decision. And once he makes his decision, I mean, we can kind of build the team around him for the upcoming season. Or if he doesn't, then we got to get it ready for Brock. So it's kind of right now, kind of waiting on Peyton.
What do you think Peyton's going to do?
I believe he's coming back. I think nobody wants to go out losing to their former team and the new quarterback that replaced you. So I don't think Peyton wants to go out like that at all. So I think he'll definitely come back.
If he doesn't, do you have confidence in Brock
Osweiler? Oh, yeah. I think I have a lot of confidence in Brock. He's kind of like a young Joe Flacco. He has that arm. I think him and Kubiak, I think they're going to fit perfect together with the way he ran the offense with the Ravens with Joe Flacco. I see Brock as a similar quarterback.
He's Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos. Do you take any time off and relax in the offseason, or you're always grinding?
Definitely. After this week, take a month off and just I did a full straight year of ACL recovery, so I'm not doing anything, especially after this week.
And coming out of this past season, perfectly fine, good to go, healthy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I feel great. I feel amazing right now. I finally feel 100%, finally feel like myself, and I'm just looking forward to next year being a year off my knee, so I think I'll come back even better.
Well, you did great one year after the knee. You'll be even better next year. Thanks again for some of your time.
Problem.
Chris Harris Jr., Denver Broncos. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, and this is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio.
And we're coming at you live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, here's your host, Mike Florio.
Final hour of our 15 this week in Phoenix at Radio Row, the Phoenix Convention Center, site of Super Bowl 49. One guest after another, one great guest after another, and they get better and better when they're not like 10 inches taller than me. I like the guys who are my size, and here's a guy who's my size doing great things in the NFL, Justin Forsett. You know, comeback player of the year, I don't know. The award comes out tomorrow night. I can't think of many guys that have done more this year in light of what the expectations were than you. Looking back on your 2014 season, how do you explain what you were able to do, 1,266 rushing yards?
Just blessed with the opportunity, finally getting a chance to show what I can do. It's hard. It's been hard for people to overlook my height and my stature throughout my career, and just being able to seize the moment, it was great.
But, you know, for running backs, it's almost like the lower that center of gravity, like a Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Better chance you have, harder you are to bring down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. But, you know, a lot of guys look at the eye test. You know, I'm not going to wire you off the bus, but I think my productivity speaks for itself.
How did you like playing for the Ravens?
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, that was the first team and organization to give me a shot, believed in me and trusted me. So, you know, I love that.
And it was a one-year contract, and that contract expires soon.
Yeah.
Looking forward, and who knows what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to have happen?
I would like to stay in Baltimore, but it is a business, and, you know, I'm looking for a commitment, you know, and however that comes, you know, I just want to be able to take care of my family.
He's Justin Forsett, Ravens running back, and I remember you telling me during the season that Gary Kubiak, who was last year the new offensive coordinator of the Ravens, stood on the table to get you there, and that's what helped unlock this. And now Kubiak's in Denver.
Right.
Justin Forsett in Denver now?
I think they're loaded at running back over there, so I don't think that can happen.
They don't have anybody that had 1,266 yards last year.
That's true. They got C.J. Anderson, another Cal guy. You know, Gary, he's a great friend of mine, great coach. He always have a place in my heart, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
And you mentioned Cal. Marshawn Lynch was a Cal guy. What do you make of Marshawn? At times I feel like he's kind of pulling one over on us, that he really knows how to push the media's buttons, and he's in charge. And we're all talking about Marshawn Lynch because of it.
I think that over the years, his heart has been hardened over the media. I mean, he's been through, if you look back at his history, he's been through a lot in the NFL. And, you know, I think that just over time, just the media and distraction, he's kind of over it. And I think he just wants to play football at this phase of his career, win championships, and that's what he's been able to do.
Let's go back a couple of weeks to your game against the New England Patriots. Close game, two 14-point leads. When you think back on that game, what happened to cause that outcome for the Ravens to not prevail? Because we know in the past the Ravens have always done well in Foxborough in the postseason.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, they made one more play than we did. They were smart. They came out with those ineligible formations. They did a double pass. They play smart. They're a good football team, and you know, they just, at the end of the day, it was back and forth, but they made that last play to win the game and be here today.
He's Ravens running back Justin Forsett here on PFT Live. What was your impression of Coach John Harbaugh?
Oh man, great guy, man. He cares about the players. He cares about their family. You love going to work for a guy like that. You know it's going to be intense. It's probably the hardest training camp. Hardest training regimen I've ever been a part of, but you see the results. And every day, you know, we're able to go out on Sundays and be physical, be tough, and guys can't match the intensity.
Justin Forsett of the Baltimore Ravens joining us. Steve Smith joined the team last year as well. Steve Smith, different kind of a guy. How did you get along with him?
Great guy, man. He's probably the closest person I'm closest to on that team. And just a great guy off the field. A lot of intensity. It's contagious on the field. I mean, the energy that he brings to the table, it's unmatched, man. You love playing for a guy like that that's going to give his all. I mean, this guy's 35 and, you know, playing like he's 20.
Is it almost like you need to have somebody who's laid back like you seem to be to get along with Steve, that two people that intense, it's just not going to work?
I don't know, man. T-Sizzle is right. His locker is right beside Steve Smith, and those guys get along well. They're kind of like-minded in that respect. But, you know, both of those guys, man, they respect authenticity, and if you're authentic, they're gonna give you respect back.
He's Justin Forsett, Ravens running back. Anything happening behind the scenes, working on a deal with the Ravens to maybe stick around before you hit free agency?
Well, I can't. The thing with my contract, I can't sign until after free agency.
Because you did the 1 year minimum.
Yeah, I did the 1 year minimum, so I can't sign anything. But you know, both sides are interested. You know, we're supposed to talk here soon, so. I've been patient all my career, and you know, I just got to wait a couple more months.
How much longer do you want to play in the NFL?
As long as I can. You know, I don't have that many you know, miles on me. You know, most of my career I've been, you know, third down back and special team guy. So, you know, this is the first time I really carried the load, and I'm gonna ride until the wheels fall off.
Do you hate the Steelers? Is it just part of being a member of the Baltimore Ravens? You have to hate the Steelers for life.
As soon as you sign that contract, you just can't.
Is it in the contract?
It's in the contract.
You have to take a vow.
A vow. You can never never like the Steelers. So, you know, they're a great team, and, you know, it's always a great battle against those guys. And definitely respect them. I got a chance to spend some time with a couple of them at the Pro Bowl, and they're great people.
Hines Ward was on earlier this week, and he said he doesn't care if the Steelers didn't want him, and he still wanted to play. He would have never played for the Baltimore Ravens. You just can't do it.
I second that.
And to go in there and win in the postseason, that can't be an easy thing to do. How'd you guys pull that off?
It's tough, man. In those playoff games, you got to be able to pack a good ground game, and, you know, you got to be able to have a good defense. And I think we had both. And especially in that game, Joe Flacco, January Joe, he went off in that game, making plays left and right. He's been our leader, our captain the whole year. But for him to raise his game like that, there's a reason for our success.
I hadn't heard January Joe. I got to start using that one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be January Justin, too, although you're September, October, November, December Justin. At least you were this past year. He's Justin Forsett of the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, in that game against the Patriots, was there any chatter among your teammates about the balls not being inflated?
No, this last couple weeks, this is the first time we ever heard of it. We knew that it was a smart physical team, coached well. We knew we had to bring our A game, and unfortunately, you know, they ended up on top.
Have you heard any talk about teams doing things that maybe they shouldn't be doing? You don't have to name teams or players, but is there talk around the league that there's a certain team that does this, certain team does that?
Not to my recollection. You know, I don't know about, you know, anybody else's experience, but, you know, 7 years playing, been on a lot of different teams. I haven't seen anything like it.
Did you see that the Lions want to expand the replay rules again?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know the Lions, the team where you fell down. You were tackled. You were rolling on the ground. You got up and ran 80 yards for a touchdown on Thanksgiving, and it counted.
I'm still waiting for them to call that the four-set rule.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting on.
The Lions are still smarting over that outcome from a few years ago. What do you do on Super Sunday? Do you watch the game, or do you don't want nothing to do with it because you're not in it?
No, I watch the game. You know, Marshawn Lynch, good friend of mine. He was grooming my wedding, so I'll be pulling for him to get another ring. I'll be on the barbecue grill cooking up.
And is he going to give you a ring if he gets another one?
I doubt that. He worked too hard for his, so I'm waiting to get my own.
All right, well, we wish you all the best as you try to do it. It's a great story. Admire everything you've done this year and all the best going forward. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. All right, there he is, Justin Forsett here on PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We will be back with more.
You're listening to a special Super Bowl broadcast of Pro Football Talk Live.
Live from Radio Row
on NBC Sports Radio. Now, back to your host, Mike Florio.
We are back on Radio Row, Phoenix, Arizona, Phoenix Convention Center, site of Super Bowl 49, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. And most of the guests we have planned in advance of the show. Every once in a while, we add one during the show. Every once in a while, he just shows up. Mike Tannenbaum, soon to be the Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Miami Dolphins. Job starts Monday.
Yes, sir.
Why aren't you home resting?
I brought my wife out here. That was part of the deal.
So if you're going to take this job in Miami, I want a trip to Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. So up until Sunday night, she has me, and then after that, away I go.
What will you do as soon as they say, there's your desk, what are you going to do?
You know, Mike, I think if you look at any of the sports, if you want to have sustainability in a cap system, you have to correctly evaluate your own roster. And we have to get that right. And some players are going to graduate, and we want to celebrate that because that means they've been coached well, they've been developed well. But we have to know which guys we need to keep and which guys on the roster are young and emerging.
Bring a brown bag for lunch the first day, or do you go out?
Yeah, I'm a brown bag guy. So
first day, day one, brown bag?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be going out for lunch anytime soon.
Do you put your name on it so it doesn't get mixed up with the other bags?
I think I'll be okay there.
He's Mike Tannenbaum, soon to be the Executive VP of Football Operations with the Dolphins. Suit and tie every day? Or is it casual? It's South Florida. You can't wear a suit and tie.
I don't know if we'll go suit and tie, but you know, Jason Jenkins, who runs, does a great job. He's always in a suit and tie, so he set a pretty high level. So
the Donald Trump approach. I do the same thing.
I know. It works for you.
Well, they give me these. They just say, go put that on. I say, okay, fine. I could be wearing a lot worse.
That's right.
Than what they give me. Mike Tannenbaum with us here. So what are your emotions as you get ready for this new challenge?
You know, Mike, I was so fortunate. I had 19 years in the NFL. You never know if this day is going to ever come again. I had a great run with Priority Sports, really good people there. But when Steve Ross gave me this opportunity, I was just popping on my skin. And, you know, even going down to Mobile last week, I love everything about the process. You know, hearing those kids interviewed at night and, you know, to have any of these jobs, A, you're so fortunate. But more importantly, you have to just love it because it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
What input will you have, if any? We know that Dennis Hickey, the GM, remains in charge of the draft and free agency. What input will you have in decisions that are going to be made?
Well, you know, look, we're going to be all involved with all the decisions, and, you know, that's the way Steve Ross wants it, and that's certainly been my track record. Dennis does have final say, but we'll be working arm to arm. We've already had a lot of conversations. I feel really good about that. And, you know, Mike, these decisions are so complicated with so many different permutations. You really need to have everything just laid out, not only from a cash standpoint, but from a cap standpoint, your depth standpoint, and just you really want to make sure that everything is thorough before you pull the trigger.
Mike Tannenbaum's with us, the soon-to-be Executive VP of Football Operations of the Miami Dolphins, starting on Monday. When you look back on your career, who have you learned the most from?
Well, I would say Coach Parcells, from a standpoint of he had 4 years with the Jets, and his last year in particular, Mike, he was the general manager when Al Groh was our head coach, and he taught me a lot, how to evaluate players, how to build a roster, how to deal with the media, just everything that you need from a leadership standpoint. So it was a great run, but in particular that last year.
Is he the one that started calling you Mr. T?
I think so.
Because Mr. T is referred to several times in Parcells' book.
Yeah, that was not always a positive because sometimes it could be effing Mr. T.
Yeah, or Mr. Effing T is how I would think he would do it. That's funny how you hear the do your job thing with the Patriots now.
Yes.
That's not a new thing. That's a Parcells thing with an expletive deleted between the your and the job, right?
Yeah, and one of the many memories I would have is if we couldn't get a player signed for whatever we thought, we could. He would always used to say, well, Mr. T, one of two things happened. Either A, you got your butt kicked in the negotiations, or B, you were Delerick in your preparation. Which one of those two things happened?
And what would you say?
A combination of both.
There we go. Mike Tannenbaum's with us, soon to be the executive VP of football operations with the Dolphins. Did you read his book cover to cover?
I have. And I thought Nuno did a very good job, very thorough, very fair. And in talking to Coach, I think he feels the same way.
Yeah, Nuno DiMasio, formerly of Sports Illustrated, Washington Post before that, collaborated with Bill on a biography/autobiography. And there's a lot of stuff there. I mean, that guy has had a long and storied career. And I still haven't finished it. I have 100 pages or so to go, but it's amazing how many different people in the industry he's touched and how many people have worked for him. And it just shows you it's all relationship driven. From your perspective going forward, how important will the relationships be in the front office among the coaching staff in Miami? Because that's been an issue in recent years.
Yeah, and Mike, I think that's a big part of the job. You got to be a great listener. You got to understand where the people are coming from. And these are high profile jobs, lots at stake. And going back to what you said, like, what Coach Parcells would draw from a guy like Bobby Knight, and he would put himself out with Tony La Russa, and you know, you're on the road for, you know, 80 days a year, in 80 games a year in baseball, and he would try to bring some of those things back to football, and it is all about relationships.
Why is it that so many of the men who accumulate billions of dollars in other industry, Stephen Ross, for example, in real estate, why is it that some of them just seem to struggle with owning an NFL team? And I don't mean to pick on Mr. Ross specifically, but with him, Jimmy Haslam, others, it just seems like there's a learning curve that maybe you get there, maybe you don't.
Yeah, and look, I can't speak for Steve except to say I can see how passionate he is. He's really an open-minded guy who's very creative. He wants to do things differently. And over the long term, I think he's going to be successful. With that said, Mike, I think football is so many things are indigenous to our little culture here, right or wrong, the way the 32 teams operate. And I think sometimes there is a little bit of a learning curve.
And it's all in how you define success, too. I tell people that all the time. I mean, some owners realize there's only going to be one team that wins the Super Bowl every year, but we're all making money. Who in Miami is in charge of the business side of the operation?
So that's Tom Garfinkel, and Tom came from the San Diego Padres. He's really been, I've gotten to know him over the last year, great guy, really out-of-the-box thinker, and the stadium renovations already started, and within 2 years we're going to have a great stadium.
When will there be a Super Bowl in South Florida again?
A couple of years from now, I think they're hopeful. I'm not sure of the date yet, but they're cautiously optimistic.
The next three are committed through Minnesota. Will there be a bid by South Florida on the next available one?
I think so, Mike, but don't hold me to that. I'm not quite sure. That's not something.
I thought you were going to say, don't quote me on it. I was going to say, too late for that. Well, of course, nobody watches this anyway, so you'd be covered. Mike Tannenbaum's with us, the new executive VP of football operations for the Dolphins. As of February 2, you still have some unfinished business. You still have a client who hasn't been hired yet.
Well, I'm actually done with Priority Sports, so
that's their problem now.
Yeah, exactly right.
They're the ones that have to find Dan Quinn a job. Wink, wink, nod, nod, Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Steve Kerr or David Blatt. I'm sorry.
No, those guys already have jobs. Dan Quinn doesn't. Well, he has a job, but there's another job out there. Do the rules need to change everybody knows Dan Quinn's going to be the next coach of the Falcons. You don't have to comment on that. Do the rules need to change so it can just be official, especially in a case like this where everybody knows what's going to happen?
You know, Mike, I understand your point, and you're presupposing that. And I understand where you're coming from that. When you look at it, like, it just doesn't make sense from a meritorious standpoint. You want the best coaches to be able to get ahead, and that makes a lot of sense. But when you balance, I've been on the other side of that conversation where when the season hasn't gone the way you had hoped, hey, let's get going. Let's make progress. Let's get the new coach in here. We could sell tickets. We could build enthusiasm. And so there's a real tension here between what's best for the teams that are hiring. And then on the other hand, you have Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll, they're trying to write history here. They don't want to be distracted. So the competing interests are very difficult. I think the rules have been tweaked somewhat, but, you know, it's interesting. Look at what happened in Denver this year. So when the coaches were available during the bye, they had a coach in John Fox. They made the decision to move on from Coach Fox. When now they want to interview Dan Quinn or Josh McDaniels, let's say, they can't interview him because you can only interview a coach during the bye for a second interview. So even there's some really weird tweaks that maybe have to be made because that's a unique fact pattern that's never really been addressed.
So you're now officially out at Priority Sports, so you're an outsider just like I am. Is there any reason as an outsider to think that it won't be Dan Quinn as the next coach of the Falcons?
Well, you would know as well as I. You know, we'll see what happens. But here's what I can tell you. Dan Quinn's a special person. I think he's a really good coach. He has a great way about him. Natural leadership, and you can just hear what all the players have said about him this week, the KJ Wrights and the Bobby Wagners, there's something really special about Dan.
And actually the current rules give the coach, who's in demand elsewhere, a little extra leverage, because Monday comes, Dan Quinn's available, and the Falcons say, okay, let's get this done. It's like, what are you talking about? Get this done. I need a little more here. I need a little more there. I need a little more this. And what else are the Falcons going to do? There's nobody else.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it does cut both ways. I've been in a situation where, hey, looks like we want to get Rex Ryan, and he's playing the championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And on the one hand, you want your coach to do well, and they lose in the game. It's like, oh, okay, now we can move forward. And until then, there's not a lot you can do. So, you know, the coach, they're anxious because they want to win, but they want to get going. So I think there's anxiousness on both sides.
Do you wish the Falcons had hired Rex so you wouldn't have to deal with him twice a year in Miami?
You know, I ran into Rex last night, and typical Rex for him, he's like, look, I live in Buffalo. You're going to live in Miami. I'm going to visit you.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to see how it plays out. Crazy how the AFC East, all the cross-pollination, all the competition. What was your reaction? Real quickly, we got to run here, but this whole Deflategate thing, your first reaction when you heard about it?
You know, it's going to be a league matter. I'm sure they're going to be thorough, Mike, and I'm sure they'll come out with the right decision.
Have you heard this kind of stuff going on? Not with the Patriots, just generally, these weird little things happening where people are maybe pushing the rules farther than they should?
You know, look, in this day and age, the way the league's covered, I think you really got to stay as close to the line as possible.
And it's very competitive, so the temptation's there. And there are loopholes. Enough said. All right, he's Mike Tannenbaum. As of Monday, Executive VP of Football Operations with the Miami Dolphins. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pro Football Talk Live, broadcasting live from the Super Bowl's Radio Row in Phoenix, Arizona.
On NBC Sports Radio.
Now, back to Mike Florio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do an easy update at the Home Depot. You can get a lot more bathroom for your buck with top brand names like Home Decorators Collection, Kohler, and Glacier Bay. The Home Depot also offers buy online, pick up in store. Just place your order online or through the Home Depot iPhone or Android apps. Then come pick up your vanity ready and paid. Visit HomeDepot.com/bath for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot's rolling through. This Friday edition of PFT Live, NBC Sports Radio, Radio Row. Greg Jennings, the great Greg Jennings, now with the Minnesota Vikings, formerly of the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
How did you ever, how can you go back to Green Bay? You're the new Brett Favre.
No, Brett Favre is Brett Favre. I'm just Greg Jennings. But no, it's the business. Yeah. That's all I really have. It's the business.
When did you jump to the Vikings? 13?
2 years ago.
2013. So you were part of the Super Bowl 45 winning team with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. What's your biggest memory from that game?
Biggest memory, honestly, is after the game being won, holding my two oldest daughters, and my oldest looking at me and says, "Congratulations, Daddy, you did it." Like, she understood what happened at that moment, and to be able to share it with my kids, it's life memories.
Biggest difference between playing for the Packers and playing for the Vikings?
Biggest difference is the colors. No, I mean, two different organizations. One who has a long history of just championships, one who doesn't, one who we're trying to create a culture of winning because the team has been down for years, but with Mike Zimmer coming in as a head coach, he's definitely bringing about that mindset, that change in the culture to where we can get on that track of everybody believing in what we're trying to get done.
We're with Vikings receiver Greg Jennings. One key ingredient to changing the culture is having a good quarterback. Your assessment of Teddy Bridgewater as a rookie?
You know what? He's a horrible quarterback.
Oh, come on.
No, he is phenomenal.
I was thinking for a second that would have been a pretty good soundbite. We'll still use it anyway.
No, he's been, you know what? He's one of those guys. He gets it. He really just gets it. He's one of those kids that he came in, you didn't have to worry about him off the field because he carries himself with a high amount of dignity. But at the same time, he's one that had to mature on the football field, and the only way that he could really do that was having the experience, and he got that this year, and he will continue to get it for years to come.
Seems to have an inner calm, and he's not flustered by the moment and can just go out and do his job no matter what the circumstances.
Absolutely. He has a great, great poise about himself, the way he carries himself, and the confidence.
And I can't help but wonder how different this season would have been for the Vikings if the Vikings that had Adrian Peterson for even half of the season. How much, what impact did that situation have on the team?
It had a great deal of impact. Obviously, when you're talking about a guy like Adrian, who any one of the other 31 teams would love to have as their running back, he just changes the course of every game with the way defenses play you, with the way they approach it from a mindset standpoint. And not having him definitely impacted, you know, what we were able to do offensively. But it's all about next man up. And everyone in this league knows that there's going to be guys that get hurt, get injured, or things that come up that guys can't play. And we experience that with the face of our franchise.
We're here with Greg Jennings of the Minnesota Vikings. Will Adrian Peterson be a Viking in 2015?
I can't answer that question. I'm not in the front offices. I know everybody from the front office on down would love to have him back. But again, there's certain amount of politics that go into things.
What are you hearing about whether or not he wants to come back? Because you could make the argument he's ready for a fresh start after everything that happened last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he would love to come back. But again, I don't know. I'm not Adrian, so I'm not in Adrian's house on the wall as a fly to where I can hear his every outward thought. So, I mean, my hope is that he does come back and we build on what we started to this year.
Isn't that a weird saying, though, when you say if I was a fly on the wall? Yeah, you'd get some good information, but you'd be a fly.
Exactly.
That's not a good thing to be.
I wouldn't be able to convey anything.
There you go. Greg Jennings with us, Vikings receiver. How'd you like going back outdoors after a season in the dome?
You know what? I enjoyed it. It's not what I signed up for. They didn't tell me that they were going out. You know, no, it was fun. It was a different atmosphere simply because we were in a college stadium and the fans are right on you. Like there's kind of no buffer. It's like the bench and then the fans. So that was different, but it was great. We had an outstanding year when it came to weather, so we didn't have any tremendously cold days or cold weather games that we played in this year, and it worked out well.
He's Greg Jennings, Vikings receiver, been working hard here today at Radio Row, making the rounds, and you're here with the folks at TGI Fridays. What do you have going on?
God, it's Friday.
And it is Friday.
Best day to do it. Yeah, I'm working with TGI Fridays, where every day is a great day. But Sunday is going to be an even greater day because we're giving everyone who wants to have it a happy every hour. Not just an happy hour, a happy every hour. You can find out more information on TGIFridays.com. Follow them on Twitter at TGI Fridays and hashtag happy
every hour.
Every hour.
Are you going to be at TGI Fridays to watch the game Sunday?
I will not be at TGI Fridays to watch the game.
Where are you going
to
be?
I'm going to be in Napa with my wife.
Do you watch the game? I mean, you've played in it. You've won it. It's kind of like, I don't need to watch that. I've been there. I've done that.
I don't watch football. And I know that's bad for me as a player.
Well,
but
it's your job. You got other things to do.
You know, and some people are like, what? You don't watch football? And I'm like, I really don't. That's my occupation. I watch it, and I don't really get to enjoy it because I see it from a standpoint of me critically analyzing everything. So,
best cornerback you've ever faced?
Charles Woodson. And that's me cheating a little bit because I had to go up against
in practice. And a lot of guys say that. The best guys they've seen at a position or in practice, it makes them better against everybody else. Mm-hmm. Who's the best receiver you've played with?
Best receiver? Ooh, that's a good question.
You're just buying time.
Oh, man, I am.
You're thinking, who am I going to offend?
No. You know, I've played with some great receivers. I mean, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Randall Cobb. It's really a toss-up.
You didn't mention any of the Viking receivers. What's Jarius Wright and Cordarrelle Patterson going to say?
Well, they're so young. They know that.
That was good cover. Best quarterback you've ever played with?
You are. He is shooting.
Hey, man,
shooting.
We did your plug. I got to ask my questions now.
I love it. So here it is. Best quarterback I ever played with is like a makeup of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre meshed together.
That's good. Equal parts Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
Which, with the youth of Teddy now coming, no, I can't put Teddy in that category yet. But I would have to. Man, that's a toughie.
You left out Christian Ponder.
I mean, we're talking Aaron Rodgers and Christian, that's my guy, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, a perfect quarterback.
You play with some good quarterbacks. Can Teddy Bridgewater be as good as those guys?
He can be elite. He can definitely be. It takes a lot to be as good as those guys. Can Teddy do it? Absolutely. He has the mindset. He has the desire. He has the will. And he definitely has the humility to do it. But only time will tell.
All right, buddy. You got to run. We got to run. Thanks for some time.
I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
It.
Greg Thanks Jennings, so Vikings receiver. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Pro Football Talk Live. We're broadcasting from Arizona, home of Super Bowl 49, on NBC Sports Radio. Now, live from Radio Row, it's Mike Florio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. When your battery loses its power, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pick up a SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a reliable, hardworking SuperStart battery you can count on. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And this is it. We've been here every day. This is the final segment, final guest, nearly 40 guests. We saved the best for last. That's what he said before the segment. Jimmy Graham and the Saints is with us. Pro Bowler, all pro. And I was talking about car batteries. You fly planes. How did you pick up your passion for flying?
It started when I was a little kid. Maybe about three, my favorite movie was Top Gun. You know, surprisingly, that young. I even learned how to kiss off that movie, you know, from the one scene. So everything just kind of took off from there. I always wanted to be a pilot. Unfortunately, too big to be any kind of Air Force. Got big, played basketball, then football. And now when I had the opportunity to, once I became a pro player, I got my license, and then it just kind of took off.
So if you'd have been short like me, you'd be flying like the plane that's going to be doing the flyover on Sunday?
Yeah, hopefully. Possibly. I definitely would. You know, I grew up on military bases, so I remember the jets flying over every day. So that's always what I wanted to do.
Have you ever gotten into one of the fighter jets for a ride-along?
I was supposed to get into one, but my weight was an issue. Apparently, because of my weight, the ejection seat wouldn't get me out in time. So that's kind of important.
That's fairly important. I'm no expert in aviation. Fairly important.
Very
point.
Important.
How often are you up in the air?
Right now in the off season, I go pretty much every day, either early in the morning, or later in the evening. And you know, I'm working on aerobatics now. So I'm just up there rolling around and flipping the planes.
And that's where you're actually rolling and flipping planes. What kind of plane is it?
Yeah. Well, it's a single engine prop, but, the roll rate of the aircraft is about 430 degrees a second, and it go negative and positive 10 G's. So it's extremely nimble, extremely quick aircraft that can do anything almost that your mind can think of.
He's Jimmy Graham, Saints tight end, and also amateur, but sure doesn't sound like amateur pilot, professional pilot. Does it make your head coach, Sean Payton, nervous that you're up there in the plane all the time?
You know, we used to talk about it, and you know, he's coming with me every day. Him and Mickey would talk about it, but really there's two rules. One is...
Don't crash.
Don't crash. which won't happen. You know, I mean, I have all the necessary certificates, all the right training, and I do everything within FAA rules, as well as I'm not allowed to fly Drew Brees. they said that's just too much in one plane.
Yeah, that's great. Jimmy Graham, Saints Pro Bowl tight end here with us today. 2013, great season for the Saints. 2014, something happened. What happened? What needs to happen to turn around what happened in 2014?
You know, for us, we just got to focus on the little things. You know, unfortunately, last off season, I wasn't with the team, and for me, that's going to be big for my growth, is having the opportunity to grow with the team, to be with the guys, and to be a part of that off season process, which is I've always been a part of my entire career. So for me, that'll be a big change, and really just the little things. You know, doing your job, not doing more or not thinking that you need to do more is really what we have to focus on.
How big of a problem was the shoulder for you this season?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't like to put excuses ever. You know, I mean, I was out there and you know, I was out there for my team and my guys. But, you know, it from week five on, you know, it was something that I really had to be conscious of. And Monday through Saturday, preparing for Sunday, I had to constantly stay with rehab and do as much as I could to be as healthy as I could for Sunday.
Talking to Jimmy Graham, Saints tight end, you had some time off after the season, played in the Pro Bowl. What's the verdict on the shoulder? Surgery, no surgery?
Yeah. Well, right now, all looks good and no surgery. You know, I'm going to continue to rest it and start rehab Monday, actually. We'll really get back on rehab and just go with that, and they say everything should be fine.
And it's important to have a shoulder that works, because how else can you apply your degree and a perspirant? Tell us what you have going on with Degree.
So Degree Men's has a new deodorant out, and it's a dry spray, and it goes on instantly dry, and it's something that I used all season, and it's great. Everyone should go out and try it. It's a great product, really.
Is it important to smell good when a guy's trying to tackle you, or wouldn't you rather smell all nasty?
Either way, they're going to tackle you. More or less after the game, for the post-game interviews, is really when you want to smell good.
As a member of the media, we appreciate
that. Yeah, so mine just runs through the game to the interview.
So you're going to rest the shoulder. When do you really start getting ready for the next season?
Well, normally I take about 3 to 4 weeks off, and then I'm down there at the University of Miami working out again. And I got a bunch of guys with me. You know, this would be my first offseason without Jonathan Vilma working out. But, you know, he's got a great plan for me. Swayze's got a great plan for me. And, you know, just going to continue to do what I've always done, which is work hard, put my head down, and just be the player I am.
How much basketball do you still play?
Well, last offseason I didn't play so much. You know, with the whole contract and everything, you know, it's something that you didn't want to
sprain an ankle.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, you just don't want any issues. But I try to play a little bit. My issue is I'm so aggressive. And you know, the minute someone fouls me, well, then now I have to dunk on you. So it turns into this brawl, really, out there on the court. So I don't play as much as I used to.
How old were you the first time you dunked?
First time I was dunked, I was in eighth grade. I was 5'8".
5'8", and you dunked?
Yeah, eighth grade, 5'8", no doubt.
How high of a rim could you dunk on at 6'6"? Well, 13 feet?
6'7".
6'7", sorry.
But,
6'8". I mean, what the hell? Makes me look bigger too. I always should go higher.
Might as well give me 6'9". But I'm not sure. You know, if there's a rim and I have a ball, I'm up to maybe 12'5", 13". I mean, I got a 40-inch vertical, so I'll find my way up there.
He's Saints tight end Jimmy Graham. You mentioned Drew Brees earlier. How much longer do you think he's going to play in the NFL? He says 45. At least he said that before the season.
not really sure, but. For however long he's going to play, I'm going to be his tight end. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer who has always looked my way and always done right by me. You know, by leading me on and off the field. You know, he's a true leader and he's someone that I've always looked up to. And you know, it's, you know, sometimes still when I get in the huddle, you know, I look over and be like, man, that's Drew Brees. So you know, it's still pretty special. And for however long he's going to play, I'm going to be a tight end.
You said that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis said, don't take Drew Brees up in the plane. Have you done it anyway?
No, I have not done
that. Is that your official answer?
Yeah, no. That is the truth. But I've taken some other teammates up, Mark Ingram and the guys, and they have a great time. I let them fly. I show them how to fly a little bit. And then, you know, we cruise around the dome and just really hang out. It's not as serious as it sounds. It really isn't.
Would you take me for a ride sometime?
Yeah, I'll take you up. And, you know, I might have to scare you a little bit. And you know,
won't take much.
But it'll be a good time. And
I didn't fly for like 17 years, and finally it just like went away, and yeah. I fly all the time now, but not in a single-engine propeller acrobatic plane. All right, well, we appreciate some of your time. All the best going forward. That's it for the week, and we did finish with the best. Jimmy Graham, Saints Pro Bowl tight end. We'll see you next week, not from Phoenix. There'll be nobody here, but we'll be back next week. PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Enjoy the Super Bowl.